Hi, I'm Ray Hager with the Reno Gazette Journal, and welcome to an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. We got a great show today. We have four people. We're going to be talking the whole show about the primary election, and we have on today's show Fred Locken, Eric Herzig, Sheila Leslie, and Randy Thompson. So that's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The cowboy cinched up his grip and nodded his head.
What happened next, Popsy?
He rode and swayed, but stayed on his horse.
The Reno Rodeo, it's a family affair, June 19th through the 28th. Get your tickets today, renorodeo.com.
Your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Adventure at TravelNevada.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
I am Ray Hager with the Reno Gazette Journal. And we got a great pundit panel today that we're going to stay with the entire show to talk about Tuesday's primary election. First, we have Fred Locken, professor of political science at TMCC. Welcome, Fred. And then we got Eric Herzig, professor of political science at the University of Nevada and the dean of the political science department.
Chair of the political science department.
Chair. Okay, I get that mixed up all the time.
You keep promoting me.
And then Sheila Leslie, former assemblyman and state senator and current columnist for the Reno News and Review. And last but not least, Randy Thompson, political consultant and, of course, guest columnist for the Reno Gazette Journal.
Which we all have our copy of.
Yes, we have the Gazette Journal at the table. So let me start. The biggest race of the primary, of course, was Sue Loudon versus Mark Hutchison for the lieutenant governor's race. Now the Hutchison won 54%. He'll face Lucy Flores in the general. Of course, she's backed by the Reed machine. Eric, let me start with you. What do you think about this race, how it's going to play?
Well, somewhat as advertised. Hutchison was the favorite. He won. He didn't win by this massive margin. I mean, it was a good margin. Loudon put up a good fight. She was under finance. She can come up with all the reasons why she lost, but she's not the best candidate in the world. Hutchison's a better candidate. Sets up the big match between Flores and Hutchison in the fall.
Okay, now Sheila, you told me before the election that you would, although you're a Democrat, didn't vote in that one, you you would pick Loudon over Hutchison. What happened?
Well, I think Hutchison wasn't actually a very good candidate. I was surprised that he wasn't a better candidate, and so part of my opinion was based on that. But I thought maybe the right wing would come to Sue's defense. I think she was a damaged candidate from, you know, people still remember the chicken lady stuff, the Rand part of the party, the libertarian part of the party, which has a lot of influence, don't like her because of the convention. So I think those two factors, plus a lack of money and some good advertising on Hutchison's part.
Okay, plus, too, the $600,000 she still owes from
right.
the... what about that, Fred? Was that a factor in her loss, that maybe people don't like people who don't pay their debts?
Well, it just piles on. I mean, I think there were enough negatives that have made her a very damaged candidate. On the other hand, for Hutchison, I always love these situations on the Republican side because they have to go so far right. He took some very interesting stands in the primary, especially in, like, federal lands in Nevada.
Yeah.
And it's sort of interesting how much ammunition he's given his opponent in the fall election based on those rather strong right-wing views that he thought he had to take to win the primary.
Well, go ahead, Randy.
Well, I was just going to say that Sue, I was at one of many parties last night, election night parties, and I had people telling me that they didn't like that Sue ran out on her bills. So small business people... Yeah. That just kept coming up, that was a reminder. And I don't even think Mark even made that really an issue in the campaign. It was the media that made that an issue. But Sue also ran a very negative campaign. The only thing she said she would do is be a full-time lieutenant governor, which it isn't. Most people should know it's a part-time job. So she didn't give us anything good what she was going to do. She just beat up on Mark the whole time.
Okay. All right, let's move to another race because we got so many to cover. this is the Reno mayor's race. Now, this was a talk about a battle royale. This was 19, 17, 18 people, and the people, when the dust settled, it looks like Hillary Sheevy against Ray Pezzanella in the general. And to me, Sheila, let me start with you. This looks like young Reno versus the good old boys.
I think these two candidates are going to give us two completely different visions for the future. And I didn't vote for either of them, but to have those two come out in the general, I think will serve the city well, because I think we are going to get a different vision of the future. We're going to stick in the past where we're giving all our money to the baseball stadium, or are we going to look to the future and start taking care of our citizens?
Does that hurt Pezzanella going forward, that he's linked to the former administration because he was endorsed by them? And so is it going to be, well, elect Ray and we're just going to keep rolling down the same path?
Well, it didn't hurt him in the primary. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was one of the top two. I don't know that we're getting two completely different visions. I called this the back to the future. You've got, you know, the mayor's candidate, so the guy backed by Bob Cashel, is going to face off against the woman backed by Jessica Sferaza. They do have some different policy points of view, but for the most part, they are linked to people who have been on the council. They have positions that are linked to those people who have been on the council. It'll be interesting to see. The baseball stadium issue will separate them, will become an emotional issue. But there's a lot more to the city of Reno than the baseball stadium.
Okay, Fred?
Well, the race was born out of a bad decision by the state Supreme Court. And I'm hoping that somewhere down the line that's revisited, because I think it was a distorted view of what the public expects in elections and in its candidates. Beyond that, it is a city that is facing some serious problems. And there was no way for that to become apparent with so many in this race. The primary does us the favor of at least focusing, and hopefully we will have one and or the other that will truly identify a pathway where Reno returns to stronger financial footing and, frankly, begins to address a myriad of problems that have been backlogged during the recession and even before.
Okay, we got to take a timeout right here, folks. We'll be right back after these few messages with round two of our primary election pundit panel.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. the Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Looking for help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Hey, we're back on our primary election all-star pundit panel today, and I want to go to an assembly race. Okay, Robin Reedy versus Jim Wheeler down in Douglas County. Now, Jim Wheeler came in, some people thought, as a damaged candidate because he was the one that said that he would have voted for slavery if his constituents wanted him to do that and if they put a gun to his head, which is, I think, an important note to make there. And he was up against Robin Reedy, who seemed to have the backing of the Assembly Legislative Caucus, and she's the former chief of staff for Governor Jim Gibbons. But, you know, when I went to Republican events and they introduced Jim Wheeler, it was like he is a rock star. What do you think about this, Randy? I was surprised that he beat Robin Reedy so handily.
Well, yeah, I think, 63%, which was just, to me, is shocking, because Robin was more of the establishment candidate. So it just kind of shows you who shows up in a primary, truly. I mean, it really does bring out more of the right side or more of the left side in these races.
I think it was interesting and a little shocking, but I think the dynamic there is the Republicans kind of felt that he was misportrayed in the media.
Yeah.
His comments were overblown and taken out of context. And, you know, it's the same dynamic. I don't like anybody else's congressman, but I like mine, you know, and I think that's what you saw. They like their assemblyman, and they're going to keep him. Remember all the controversy, too, about does he even live there? So you would have thought that she would have done better.
Eric, about that is that... you know, well, actually, I'm tired. I forgot what I was going to say. What's your comment on this race?
I was surprised at the margin. But it's not only who shows up in the turn. So I agree with Randy, who shows up. It's also the district. That's a very conservative district.
Amen. Yeah.
They did, and as a matter of fact, only in that district could somebody who was the chief of staff for Jim Gibbons is the liberal.
Yeah.
And so... You had two candidates that, you know, really, Wheeler got the sympathy vote, so to speak, if you want to describe it that way, don't push us around type of thing. He was the incumbent, so he had those advantages.
Okay,
he now has to mend fences, though, or Hickey has to mend fences with him. That's a split.
That's a good point, because Fred, when I talked to Pat Hickey, the Assembly Minority Leader, afterwards, he said now Jim Wheeler's biggest job is to reestablish good relations with other assemblymen and assemblywomen on both sides of the aisle. And I thought that was kind of like a peculiar thing to say on victory night. And I asked Wheeler about it, and Wheeler didn't like it. He wouldn't comment on it. What do you, is that job one for Jim Wheeler, reestablish himself as, or his credibility?
I honestly think so. You know, he's dealing with leadership there, and under the circumstances, there's a different side to the legislature than what we see portrayed in the press and in public. There are relationships, there are broken relationships, and if you want to be relevant, if you want to get legislation Absolutely. Through the process, you have to learn to play. That's been the big lesson in Washington with a lot of the Tea Party types, that they don't want to play with everybody, and as a result, they don't accomplish anything. So it's up to Wheeler. Sometimes you have to swallow your pride, but there are frustrations with him as a co-legislator.
Okay, let's go now to the most interesting race of the entire primary, in my opinion, and that is the state Senate race between incumbent Ben Kieckhefer and challenger Gary Schmidt. Now, this turned into a three-ring circus because last Friday, Ben Kieckhefer filed a defamation suit against Gary Schmidt for an ad that he was running that said he endorsed and supported Harry Reid in the 2010 U.S. Senate primary against Sharon Engel. And anytime you put a Republican with Harry Reid, that's the deal killer right there. Eric, what were you surprised at all with that?
No, and Kieckhefer won easily. And this is kind of the problem that the right-wing challengers, we'll call them the Tea Party challengers, whatever you want to call them, they are not insignificant, but they overstate their influence. Their influence is limited to very confined geographical districts. You know, the Wheeler district, okay, or 26 where Randy Koerner is. I mean, that used to be Sharon Engel's district. Then it was Ty Cobb's district, so it's a very conservative district. But once you get outside of that, or you go to a larger district, like a Senate district, then they fall short. And on top of that, they have Gary Schmidt as their standard bearer. I mean, Gary Schmidt's... What? This was his fifth time he's run.
Five losses, five tries, five losses.
And he's seen as kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, kind of a flake out there as a candidate, a contentious candidate. And yet only in this kind of, well, he's representing the true right, all of a sudden he becomes a standard bearer. And that's not helping you.
Okay, now, Randy, the thing about this fight between Kieckhefer and Schmidt is that Judge Patrick Flanagan forced Schmidt to take down that ad that linked Kieckhefer to Harry Reid. Do you think that when that happened, it turned the tables on Gary Schmidt?
No, I think the tables turned on Gary Schmidt the day he filed.
Yeah.
He's just not a credible candidate. He's, like you said, he's run five times. He's just not a credible person. He's run as a Democrat. He's run as a Republican. He's run in Gerlach. He's run here. It's just, I think people saw through him without him having to go on. And when you listen to his radio ads anyway, they were just crazy talk. It really was just ridiculous. So.
Okay, well, he's going to probably sue you for
that. That's okay. He has a tendency to do that, apparently.
But we got to take another break. We'll be back with this panel right after these few words. Pay a little bills. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
After 65 million years, dinosaurs come alive. Experience over 40 life-size moving dinosaurs, including the menacing T-Rex, at the Reno Event Center. Touch, learn, even ride the dinosaurs. Many activities for kids of all ages. The Dino Dig, Chip and Fossil Panning, the Dino Den, including unlimited dino rides, inflatables, and mini golf. Discover the dinosaurs live in Reno. This weekend only at the Reno Event Center. DiscoverTheDinosaurs.com.
Dollar Loan Center's got you covered again. Your trusted name in lending for 15 years is now funding title loans. We lend more for your vehicle, and we guarantee to beat the rate of any competitor. No credit checks required, and you can always get a $2,500 signature loan in minutes. Apply at a Dollar Loan Center location or go to don'tbebroke.com for more info.
You
don't need superpowers to help someone. Sometimes all it takes is a warm heart and a cold nose. That's why Mattress Discounter's Good Deed Dogs is raising money to train service dogs for people with disabilities.
I would never imagine a life without an assistance dog ever again. I relied on people a lot. He helps me live a more independent life.
But this drive is ending soon. Give at mattressdiscountersdogs.com or any Mattress Discounters. Mattress Discounter's Good Deed Dogs. Helping dogs help people.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, we're back on this panel. I hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. Okay, Sheila, I want to start with you. You know, down south, that Michael Roberson, the Senate Minority Leader, Republican, he beat back a strong challenge, Carl Bunce, who used to run Ron Paul's campaign in Nevada. So I want to ask you, as a former state senator, who's going to have the majority in the Senate? Because Democrats had it last time by one guy or one person. So
I think the Democrats will maintain their majority, a very slim majority. All the competitive seats are in the South this time. The Democrats have a pretty good margin down there, and they'll have plenty of money. They have good candidates. So I think it'll be the Democrats. It wasn't surprising that all the establishment candidates came through their primaries. I mean, that was pretty expected. I think what Eric said is exactly right. The Tea Party contingent, they talk to each other, so they think everybody believes what they believe, and they found out last night that's just not so.
They don't talk to me, though, because I'm not part of that. You know that, okay, right? I'm more establishment.
Fred, what Tea Party, do you think they're overblown? Or?
Well, in the previous discussion and in all of these races, I've been anticipating, and maybe it's a hope, that there's a battle fatigue within the Republican Party on the conservative wing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Tea Party, when they emerged, everyone kind of thought, well, it's recession-driven. As the economy improves, they go away. But I think the other factor is that you send some of them into office, and they don't accomplish anything. They're obstructionist. We know what they're against, which seems to be everything that government's trying to do. And, you know, when you send someone, you want them to have some impact. You want to see things changed. So I'm hoping this is maybe the election that starts to indicate that the Tea Party is being put in its place by voters, because that's ultimately how our system works. They can believe how relevant they want to believe they are, but it's the voters that will tell them, and I'm hoping that that decline is setting in.
What I think the party has to understand is, like, specifically the Becky Harris, Justin Jones race down in Vegas. So Becky Harris is now coming out as going to take on Justin Jones for the Senate seat, which is the critical Senate seat.
Yes.
And I do hope, actually, that Becky wins, but that's just my partisanship. But we are damaging ourselves. So Becky is going into this tough race with Justin. You've got a unified, rather well-financed Democratic candidate, and you've got a wounded Republican. So I don't think the Tea Party's understanding the damage they're doing to the party. Yes, work on getting people to be more conservative, fine, but we're eating our young. And we're going to continue.
They understand.
They do. And they're doing it. I mean, Chuck Muth says intentionally, if Sue Loudon loses, at least, you know, I mean, at least we're getting out there.
They understand. They don't care.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they're not fatigued. They're not going away. Mm-hmm. So I disagree with
I think
you on that.
That's right.
He's just saying he hopes they do, and I'm with that.
And we're not fatigued, but literally voters are saying, I don't want to hear this anymore.
And
I don't want to see this.
When they do happen to win, they're not effective because they're in very small districts, you know, districts that even nationally, I mean, Eric Cantor lost last night in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge.
He's very conservative, and a more conservative candidate beat him. But and this is kind of Grandy's point, did the Republican Party expand their base by knocking out Eric Cantor? Absolutely not. If anything, they made it even a tighter or smaller tent, to use that cliche. I mean, same with Mississippi. If they take out Tad Cochran, fine. You're really not doing anything to expand the party. And we've seen in the National Democrat or National Republicans, for example, do not win the Senate this time. Come on. Everything is lined up for you. Again in 14, as it was in 12, as it was in 10, and because you look inward, you're not able to expand the party. I don't think they care.
I'm going to go back to this Doug Goodman guy who's out trying to put election reform and get it, have open primaries, and then three candidates go, because I'd love to have one more choice for Reno mayor, to be honest. I think you've got the extremes here.
Because you backed one. But
I backed one, and but she wouldn't have even come in third at this point. But I'd like to see more options, because I think I think we can't change the way our voters are voting, so let's change our elections. Maybe that'll broaden the base a little bit.
You know what I see about these primaries with Republicans? is they knock the snot out of each other in these primaries, and they go into these generals, you know, kind of weaving. I mean, look at Hutchison. I mean, he's been banged around pretty good by Sue Loudon. Now he's going to have to take it right to the chops from Lucy Flores. And Lucy Flores has her game plan on how to beat him from Republican.
Exactly. Sue Loudon. And she's a much better candidate than Sue Loudon. So if he couldn't, with Sue Loudon pushing his buttons the way she did, just wait till he takes on Lucy.
Yeah, you know, the thing I see about Mark Hutchison, and I respect him as a lawmaker, and I think he's a good guy personally, but he's got the shortest fuse in Nevada politics since Jim Gibbons. And I think that Sue Loudon tried to exploit that in the primary, like needling him on debates and things like that.
Well, a lot's said about the split in the Republican Party, and some will say, oh, it's not there. Yeah, it's there. And the major problem for the Republicans after all these primaries is, and you mentioned Chuck Muth and various kind of conservative voices, will they come back and support the Republican? Exactly. And if they stay home, the Tea Party folks have proven they can beat a candidate. They can't win necessarily in a broader area, but they can beat somebody.
Okay, we got to stop it right there. Thanks so much. This was so much fun. Hey, we'll be right back and wrap up this edition of Nevada Newsmakers.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
The West gets wild this June at the Nugget, with great entertainment and the opening of a new saloon, dance hall, and restaurant. Country Crossroads kicks off with Mickey Gilly himself Thursday, June 12th. Followed by the Eli Young Band Friday, June 13th. Derek Clark and Neil McCoy, Saturday, June 14th. Gilly's Saloon Dance Hall and Barbecue opens Thursday, the 12th. And with a Redneck Rodeo Truck Show and Cowboy Crawl, Saturday, the 14th, June is the month to scoot your boots to the Nugget.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your Couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch, to a nationalized partner in textile restoration. Bobby Pages, 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at bobbypages.com.
Save on the chair. Save on the table. Save on what's above the table. Craftsmanship, style, and great savings. That's what Ethan Allen is bringing to the table this June. See you soon.
News 4 is on your side. It's our mission.
It's our philosophy.
It's our dedication to report the news that's important to you.
Because you have the right to know.
News 4, we're on your side across Northern Nevada and the Sierra.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Thanks for watching. On our next broadcast, we'll have Assembly Minority Leader Pat Hickey of Reno, and we're going to sort out all the results of the primary election and look forward, of course, to the general election in November. You don't want to miss it.